St. Thomas à Becket, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our saint of today is another very wonderful Christmas saint. He was born in London in the 1100s, and as a young man, he was described as being very frank in his conversations. He didn't mind speaking his mind. And he had a very great intellect as well, and was able to explain the most difficult questions in a very, very simple manner. And he also loved hunting and other types of sports, and in fact, almost lost his life playing them. And after his parents had died, he went to work in an office doing some sort of secretarial work. At the age of 24, he took the position working for the Archbishop of Canterbury, and soon after won his trust, and he was used as a sort of diplomat. Despite his frankness in conversation, he was used in very delicate situations to help and fix them. And eventually he began studying under the Archbishop for the sacred priesthood. And as a priest, he became a favorite of the King of England, so much so that many of the people said that the King and Thomas had only one heart and one mind together. And so St. Thomas became thereafter the King's Chancellor, a very high position. And as Chancellor, he lived a very rich life, but still was always very generous to the poor. He was known, though, to have had some faults in his character, as we all do. He was very prideful and had a very, very quick temper also. But he struggled every day, day in and day out, by means of mortification and nightly vigils and prayers to overcome himself. And when later on, when the Archbishop died, the King wanted to make Thomas the Archbishop. And Thomas told him very plainly, "I want no part of it, because this will only cause problems between you and between me, because I'll have to defend the church and the church's rights and everything else, and there will be trouble." And in his own words, he told the King, "Your affection for me would then turn into hatred if I become the Archbishop." Well, the King paid no attention, and Thomas was made the Archbishop. And for a while, everything was just as it always had been, and the King and the Archbishop were on very good terms and kept their friendship. But then the King began to demand money, which Thomas could not rightly take from the church and give to the King. And so the King became angry and began treating Thomas very harshly. And promises were made, threats were made as well. And then the King banished all of Thomas's family and friends. They were just banished. And then some of these family members and friends had to take an oath. And their oath was this, that they would go to Thomas and just show themselves to him and try to convince them by their tears to give the King what he wanted so that the family could be brought back into England, but the church's rights would have been violated had he given in. And finally, Thomas himself was banished. And it says that when all this was taking place, Thomas at first was inclined, he was tempted to give in just a little bit. But then he realized, well, no, I'm a churchman. I have to defend the church's rights. And so he did. He repented of his weakness and began to hold his position of protecting the church's right ever more firmly. And he defended the church so firmly that eventually the King said those most famous words. He said, "Will no one rid me of this pesky archbishop?" Well, some of the people that heard him took him very seriously. And so the knights went out and sought to kill St. Thomas in his own cathedral church. They entered, it says, at the time of Vespers, when Thomas was officiating those sacred ceremonies. And the clergy tried their best, all of St. Thomas's clergy tried their best to protect him and to keep the knights out of the church. But Thomas, in his great fortitude and his love for our Lord, he said that the church was not to be defended and guarded as if it were a fortress. People are welcome to come in. This is God's house. And he said, besides, I'm glad to die for the glory of Holy Mother Church. And the doors were opened, the enemy entered, and he was slain there in his church. And his dying words were, for the name of Jesus and in defense of the church, I am willing to die. And so he died a martyr's death. And only 2 years after his martyrdom, he was canonized. And the king, who had had him put to death, did public penance by receiving a scourging at the tomb of our saint. And it was a beautiful ending in that regard. Now, not all of us, obviously, are going to be called to be martyrs. But in the service of the Christ child this Christmas, we must daily die to self. So in a sense, we have to be martyrs, but to ourselves, so that Christ might live in us. All of those little faults, all of those attachments to venial sins, they must be put to death. St. Thomas was prideful and quick-tempered. And yet when he became the archbishop, it was a whole change of life for him. He began to work every day on these faults, and eventually he sanctified himself in his new duty as archbishop. And had he not died daily to his faults and tried every day to overcome them, he very well might never have gained the courage to die for God's honor as a martyr. You see, the principle is this: if we're faithful in little things, then we'll be faithful in the more important ones by God's holy grace. And so today, let us think of St. Thomas's fidelity in those little things and how it ended up making him faithful in the big. And so let us imitate his fortitude today and overcome ourselves in the little things, so that in the bigger ways, we might also be faithful to our King, the infant Jesus in the manger. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.